It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I so appreciate each and every one of you who listen. You're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, and your mind and your body. You were made for this time. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting for all of your good work, your support. And it is one of your favorite days, producer Steve.
You know, it is. And I think, man, it can't be Friday already. But as we get more good at what we do, I don't know what the reason for it is, but you know, we come in on a Monday, and this past Monday was kind of not the best day because of our technical problems, but I just can't believe the way the days fly by.
It truly is amazing. There's some days when I'm walking into the studio and it's like I was just here. But I think it's because there is so much work to do, and each of us has to step into this. This is our time in history to do so. So be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. There is all kind. I mean, you talk about a lot of great information, great shows. We have our podcasts there, podcasts and recaps of the shows, our op-eds, just a lot of great information there. And if you want to get first look at everything, be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And that is at Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Again, that's our weekly newsletter. And then you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I so appreciate each and every one of you who support us, because we are an independent voice and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. And we see all kinds of force and coercion going on right now, producer Steve.
Well, you say government-induced, and then you know, a thinking person comes in and says, well, do they do it by design, or do they just not have a good grip on things? And, you know, who is this World Economic Forum that there's out there stirring up a lot of trouble, and, you know, they're probably going to be a huge problem for us in the future. Is this part of their design?
Well, one has to ask that question. Is it incompetence, or are they doing this on purpose? I don't know, but the effects are the same, and they're not great. And we need to stand against that. But one thing I wanted to mention before we continue on, and that is America's Veteran Story Show. It airs on Sundays at 3 and at 10. Fascinating interview with Nelson, also known as Nelly, Paler. And he was a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. Fascinating conversation, Steve.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Last weekend, we watched the movie 13 Days, which deals with the Cuban Missile Crisis. And they went to great lengths to show the U-2 pilot on a mission over Cuba. And sure enough, his warning lights go off. And it basically, the light says, missile, incoming missile or something like that. It was the surface-to-air missile that was eventually would shoot him down. And Nelly talked about that. He saw that warning.
Oh, yes, he did. And so tune in to find out what happened, because it is absolutely, we're going to keep that as a cliffhanger. How's that?
Okay.
Wanted to let you know, we had planned on having several events with Leslie Manoukian this weekend. And she is the founder of the Health Freedom Defense Fund. And she has had a family medical emergency, so we're going to be rescheduling that. If you purchase tickets, the organizer should be in touch with you about getting a refund for that. So unfortunately, we're going to have to reschedule that, but we will do so because it's super important information. And another thing, we're getting into the weekend, and Hooters Restaurants is a great sponsor, both the shows. They have five locations. That is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they have happy hour specials Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. and half off some of their appetizers. They have happy hour drink specials. They also have lunch specials Monday through Friday, and they're keeping the line on that. They have some $8 items, some $9 items, and some $10 items. And kids eat free on Saturdays. So be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And click on the sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And click on the Hooters tab, and you'll find all of their specials. Football season is... did you say that actually we are into preseason already?
Yeah, there was a game last weekend here in town. And don't make me say anything else about that. You know I'll go off the deep end.
Okay, well, I guess the what I take out of that, we talked about it the other day, the Broncos are going to the Super Bowl, huh?
Well, you know, every sportscaster in town after that preseason win.
Okay, well, there we go. Hey, because we're going to be talking with Mateen Elas in the third and fourth segment, and he grew up in Saudi Arabia. His dad was Muslim. He has a Christian ministry now, Mateen does, of bringing the gospel to the Arabic-speaking world, and wanted to talk with him about what's happening in Afghanistan. And so I thought, let's go to a quote of somebody that lived in very tenuous times, and that is Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian watchmaker and later a writer who worked with her father, Casper ten Boom, her sister, Betsy ten Boom, and other family members to help many Jews escape from the Nazis during the Holocaust in World War II, and they hid them in her home. And she was born in 1892. She died in 1983. And I found this fascinating, Steve. She said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. And with what we're facing in America today, I thought that was a great quote for hope for us to continue to trust our engineer.
Well, right up until the time you think who the engineer is. Not, maybe you're talking about a higher power than the guy in the White House, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, but that's a train I'd like to get off with what's going on there.
Yeah. Well, I think he got off a long time ago. He just left the throttle wide open.
Yeah, it's not funny what's going on out there when we look at the southern border and energy prices and Afghanistan and inflation and just in what, 7 short months, right?
I would have never thought it was possible to do so much damage in such a short time.
Yeah, they have been very busy. But, Steve, I wanted to jump over here. You gave me this question, and you asked me, who is this? And it said, did you know the FDA doesn't do any of the testing for drug approval? The NIH does and provides its findings for FDA approval. It says, look up Christine Grady. She's the head of the NIH Bioethics Division. Who is her spouse? Okay, we'll let that percolate for just maybe about just a few seconds for all of you to be thinking about that.
And we'll tell you that NIH is what? National Institute of Health, right?
Right, the National Institute of Health. And they have been very busy during this whole COVID-19, Wuhan, China virus, reaction, disruption, locking people down, determining which are essential businesses, a whole bunch of different stuff there, and working with the CDC on that.
Don't forget putting out conflicting information.
Oh, that as well.
Yeah.
But when you asked me this question, I got it. I had to think for a little bit, but I'm thinking, who could it be? She is Anthony Fauci's wife. Can you believe it?
Is this nepotism run amok?
Well, it certainly is a dot to connect. I can't believe throughout all this we hadn't figured this out by this time.
Well, between the two of them, you know, he goes down as, I think, the most highly paid government official, or he has the highest paying government job, like well over 600 grand. And then you find out this type of connection between these organizations. It's beyond comprehension.
It really is beyond comprehension here. And the NIH, I mean, there's all kinds of dots to connect back to China, back to the Wuhan lab, pharmaceuticals. And it makes me wonder if that's why there's such a fervor to get people vaccinated quickly before the truth really comes out on all of these connections, Steve.
Well, look at the division. I mean, the king of division was Barack Obama. But we, this topic, amongst several others, divides us greatly. But you think of the NIH, the FDA, the CDC, all putting out conflicting information. Oh, and the icing on the cake is Fauci himself.
It is truly, truly astonishing. So we will continue to connect dots for you as we search for truth and clarity on these issues. We have a great show planned for you today. We're going to go to break. When we come back, next segment, we'll talk with Catherine Mills. She is the marketing director for Castlegate Knife and Tool. We will be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. Thrilled to have on the line with me Catherine Mills. She is the marketing director for Castlegate Knife and Tool. And Castlegate Knife and Tool is a sponsor of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veterans Stories. And Hal Van Herkey and Helen Linnea, they are entrepreneurs. Hal is a veteran. And it's great to have you on the line with us, Catherine Mills.
Thank you so much, Kim. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. And there's a lot going on out at Castlegate Knife and Tool, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we are known far and wide for our knife sharpening. We're getting a ton of new arrivals, thank goodness, coming into Q4 here. And we actually just introduced watches into our spread. So if anyone is looking for a Minuteman or an R Page, you should be checking out our website.
Well, I took a look at that the other day, and really kind of fascinating on these watches. And the price range is what I would call affordable to somewhat spendy, depending on what works for people, right?
So they're all American made. Some of them have presentation type back, so you can flip it over and actually see the movement working, and you know, anything from leather handles to woven, we've got a full variety.
Okay, I find that fascinating. But another thing, and I saw you when I took out my knife, you were doing a knife sharpening event. I knock on wood, I haven't cut my finger yet on that, but I found that that was really fascinating, and just the care that your technician had with that. I was really impressed with that, Catherine.
Well, thank you. Yes, he can do it. We actually had one lady call in and say, can you sharpen my machete? Yes, ma'am, we actually can. Anything from axes, anything with a blade, we have the ability to sharpen it in-house on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we do usually under a week turnaround time for it. So we see a lot of people bringing in their old kitchen knives, but if you have an everyday carry, we can handle that for you as well.
Fascinating. So you can sharpen her machete. That is probably a question you didn't really think you were going to get.
And then, in all honesty, I just thought her poor husband.
Yeah, true that. And then you are getting in some new shipments of things. You mentioned that as well, I guess, earlier. And we talked about watches.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else before we move over? I want to have you talk a little bit about your views on Afghanistan and what's happening there.
No, you know, it's just becoming busier and busier, so feel free to check us out online at www.castlegate.com or stop in the store in Sedalia. Bill is always there. He's happy to chat knives and, you know, anything from education to chatting with those knife gurus out there.
And you're open 7 days a week, correct?
7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay. And again, that's Castlegate.com, Castlegate.com. And I so love having this partnership with Castlegate, Catherine Mills. Let's talk a little bit about Afghanistan. What's your thoughts on what's happening over there?
So, you know, I'm not as concerned. I mean, that's probably not the right word as what's happening over here. What is really just top of mind for me is, where is our president? Where is our vice president? I mean, this man wanted to assume the leadership of the greatest nation in the entire world, and yet he would rather be playing bridge than addressing the American people, who fundamentally know we are not pro-war. We would like to stay out of it, keep our men and women and our veterans here at home and safe. But what we like, or what we dislike even more, is being humiliated on a global stage. And this president can't seem to stop playing bridge at Camp David every other weekend. I mean, where is our leadership?
Now, is he really playing bridge? I hadn't seen that. Or is that just
I'm pretty sure it's bridge or it's Yahtzee. But, you know, it's one of those nursing home retirement type engagements.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Where is the leadership? And also, that is a big question out there. Where is our leadership? Where is it that where people are standing up for the American idea? And I realize, I think it's the leadership is in each one of us, Catherine.
It is definitely at home. And we're seeing local elections start popping up here, especially moving into 2022. And it is a time for people to get involved. If you are sick of seeing what's happening, make sure that you're putting someone on the school board in your local county, your local district. Make sure that you are getting involved, that your voice is heard. There are so many options from social media, podcasts, and beyond that do not have barriers to entry. And we cannot rely on the powers that quote-unquote be. We have to rely on our voices to change what is happening. And if you remember, Kim, after they came into office, they claimed that the adults were back in charge. Well, it's 218 days of the adults being back in charge, and I would say it's been an epic disaster.
Well, yes, you can just go down the list. You can go to the southern border. Energy prices are up, 40, 50, 60%, depending on where you are.
Oh, and didn't we just ask OPEC to increase output? By the way, we have West Texas. We have the Rockies. We have our neighbors up in Canada who are desperate to get their oil out through pipelines that Biden has yet again killed. It has been a case study in humiliation.
Well, it is. And I was talking to someone. It almost seems like they don't like the American people, because all of the policies seem to be hurting us and empowering our adversaries. It's somewhat remarkable, Catherine.
In that particular case, you have to look at the flow of money. You know, what's the view from the bus bench? Follow the money. And I have a feeling the money is probably leading to some back-end deals that are lining a few pockets, because why would you hurt a nation that is dedicated to, you know, pulling everyone along?
Well, and I also find it remarkable, I mentioned the border crisis down on the southern border, there doesn't seem to be a border crisis of people trying to get into China, or a border crisis of people trying to get into Russia, or into Cuba, or into North Korea. And so we have to look at this and say, why is it that people still want to come to America? Because America is that last beacon of hope. And I had Helen Raleigh on the other day, and there is great concern of where America is right now as you look at history. However, the one thing that is so different about America is that America was founded on an idea, and this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And we are Americans. And so that's why I think history is going to be a little different with us as we, as Americans, are waking up. What's your thoughts on that, Catherine?
Well, you know, you can't ignore history or you're doomed to repeat it. And I would not say that every single aspect of our history is squeaky clean, and no one would claim otherwise. But it is our history, we are proud of it, and we have learned from it. And that is what the woke crowd seems to want to erase, is they do not want the opportunity for you to learn from, say, the mistakes of the past or the opportunities of the past. And, you know, I find it so interesting that this woke squad we have up on the Hill, they comment and cherry pick where their comments go for the atrocities that are happening over in the Middle East against women, the breakdown in communications with what was happening in New York, the fall of Cuomo. By the way, New York lost their last three governors to this sort of scandal within their own party. I mean, if you're only willing to grab one line out of an entire book and comment on that line, then that produces chaos and misinterpretation. And if we do not get back to facts do not care about your feelings, then yeah, we're going to continue to nurture a crowd that just does not care about history.
Well, very well said, Catherine Mills, and so appreciate you joining us today to let us know what's happening out at Castlegate Knife and Tool, as well as your comments on what's going on in the world. So thank you so much. And again, that website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. Catherine, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. You have a lovely day.
And we'll be right back with Mateen Elas.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Mateen Elas, and he is he's a friend. He is a Christian and has a ministry bringing the gospel to the Arabic-speaking world. And he has extensive experience in the Middle East. And Mateen, I think it's important to have a discussion on what's happening in Afghanistan because I think you know people that are there. And let's talk, first of all, before we get to that, though, a bit about your ministry. Tell us about that.
Well, thank you so much, Kim, for having me on. And I'm delighted to have a chance to talk especially about Afghanistan. But I'll say a few words about the ministry that I'm part of, Voice of the Truth. Our focus is on getting the gospel to the Arabic-speaking world, primarily the Muslim world, because Muslims throughout history have had very little access to the gospel message as it is presented in the Bible. Their understanding of Jesus is pretty much limited to their own traditions and to what the Quran says about Jesus. And unfortunately, those sources of material are not accurate about who the true Jesus is.
Well, and are you having success with your ministry?
Well, yeah, definitely we're having success. It's hard to talk about numbers. We see ourselves, I think, accurately as a farmer spreading a lot of seed and then watching and waiting to see where the seed takes root and new life comes. So we have a radio broadcast ministry throughout the Middle East and North Africa, as well as in various central places in the U.S. where there are large gatherings or large contingents of Arabic-speaking people. We have a huge print ministry of tracts and portions of scripture like Sermon on the Mount or Gospel of John and so on in Arabic and in related languages that are contiguous to the Middle East that we send out box loads every day. So there's a lot that we don't know in terms of results because people don't necessarily contact us after they've met Christ through one of our outreach ministries. But we do get substantial numbers of letters or phone calls from people who say that they read a particular tract or read the New Testament that we sent them or heard the message over radio and and they've come to Christ, and then we're delighted when that happens, of course, and then we're able to do some discipling ministry with them, send them more materials, and get them connected. Here in the U.S., we have a network. There are some 325 plus Arabic speaking congregations in the U.S. and Canada, and so we can get them connected with a pastor or a congregation if they're living within reach of one of those congregations.
And what is your website, Mateen?
Well, our website is VOPG.com, which stands for Voice of Preaching the Gospel, which is the way our ministry is known over in the Middle East. And the website is primarily in Arabic, because, of course, that's our intended audience. And we've found, of course, as so many people have, that a presence on the Internet is hugely important, and it has a great increase in reaching many who, of course, cannot be reached by normal means, particularly those who are behind government blockades in terms of all sorts of the normal ways you try to reach people. So the Internet helps to break down some of those barriers. So we're grateful for that opportunity.
Mateen, my understanding is that in countries, other countries throughout the world, that Christianity has been under attack. I guess we should say that. And I never really dreamed that we might see an attack on our religious freedom here in America. And I run into people that are very concerned about it right here in America. What would you say to them, Mateen?
Well, to Americans, I'd say we know nothing of the persecution that much of the rest of the Christian world has been facing. But if we don't work seriously to protect the freedoms of religion that are guaranteed in our Constitution, we will not be exempt. The same thing will end up happening to Christians and others who are committed to wanting freedom to worship as they feel they're led to worship. So we have to be vigilant to protect those freedoms. At the same time, we can't just be self-absorbed and looking, gazing at our own navel, but we have to be concerned about religious freedom for people around the world, particularly, as Christians. Here in the U.S., we need to be spokespeople for Christians around the world who don't have a voice to defend themselves. There's no question that the Christian movement is the most highly persecuted movement of all religious movements around the world, and that the greatest persecutor of Christians is, first of all, the Muslim world, and secondly, the communist world.
Mateen, I cannot figure out why persecution of the Christian message, because the Christian message is about the individual and their relationship with Christ. Why is that such a threat to the Muslim world and to the communist world?
Well, I can speak more authoritatively about the Muslim world than the communist world, but so let me do that. It's a complex subject, Kim, because it goes back to Muhammad himself, who, according to Islamic tradition, was tasked with revealing himself to the pagan Arabs of 7th century Arabia to say that he was a true prophet of the one true God. Now, who is the one true God? Well, for Muhammad, it meant linking himself up with the histories of Judaism and Christianity, with the people of the Old Testament and people of the New Testament. And, of course, there were Jewish and Christian tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. So Muhammad sought to gain the support and the seal of approval of Jews and Christians to say that, yes, he was preaching the same God. His message was on a par with the message of the Jewish prophets and of Jesus in the New Testament. But as Christians and Jews listened to Muhammad, they said, no, your God is not the same as our God. And that led Muhammad to ultimately turn against the Jewish and Christian communities and to speak negatively about them particularly the Jews, because Muhammad was surrounded in Medina by Jewish tribes at least for 5 years before he kicked them all out of Medina. And when they said to him, "No, we don't acknowledge you as a prophet," he became very negative towards them. So the Quran contains a lot of anti-Semitic material and some anti-Christian material as well. But one of the keys for Muhammad was that for him to be recognized as a true prophet, he had to deny that Jesus was the final revelation to the world, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was God who had come in the flesh into the world to save the world. Because if that was true, then who would want to listen to a prophet that came after, you know, the Son of God? As the book of Hebrews says in the opening chapter, in many and various ways God spoke to our forefathers in the past through his prophets, but now he has spoken to us by his Son. So after the Son comes, what need do you have more prophets? So Muhammad had to, in essence, cut Jesus down to size to say, well, Jesus was only a prophet like me, but I'm the last of the prophets. So Jesus could not have died for the sins of the world. So Islam has to deny the crucifixion. And Jesus, of course, could not be the Son of God. He's simply a prophet. So for Islam to thrive and prosper, Christianity has to be denied and dismissed. And so Islam has always, since the time of Muhammad, had an axe to grind against both Jews and Christians. That's why Christianity remains so persecuted.
Now, my understanding, I've not read the Quran, is that there's a portion of it that is peaceful and a portion of it that is not. But when people talk about the Bible, when we read the Old Testament, there is some very violent things that happened in the Old Testament. How do you explain that to people as you're talking about the gospel?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, you're right that there are two distinct segments of material in the Quran. One is peaceful and seems to want to integrate with the rest of the world. But the second is very much warlike. We call that the jihadi section of the Quran. And the problem is they're intermixed. The Quran is not put together in an orderly fashion like we would like to think, but you have passages from both periods. The first period was when Muhammad was weak and still living in Mecca, had just a small following, and was afraid of being swamped by all of the unbelievers. And so he counseled his people to speak well and to seek to woo people to understand Islam. But when Muhammad left Mecca to go to Medina in 622 A.D., he became the head of Medina and started to become very powerful and took on warlord status. And his teaching then becomes much more assertive and aggressive. And in that, he lived there for roughly 12 years till he died in 632. And in that 12-year period, scholars say he ordered or participated in 86 or so different raids or attacks on non-Muslim groups. So there's a huge change for Muhammad. But with regard to the Old Testament in particular, I'm right now leading a Bible study with a group of men in Joshua. And, in Joshua, we see the Israelites being commanded by God to go take the land and to have no mercy on the inhabitants, the former inhabitants of the land, and to put them to death. Sounds very much like jihad. The one big difference is that God says to the Israelites, "I'm giving you this land, the land of Israel, the land I promised to Abraham and his descendants. I'm fulfilling my promise to you, so you need to clear out the land and go settle in it." But once they settle, God doesn't say to them, "Okay, now I want you to expand and start to take on more territory until finally you take over the whole world." God never says that. He says, "These are the limits of your land, and you're to live within it and live at peace with the world around you." But in Islam, the command to jihad is not limited temporally or geographically. The commands to go and conquer peoples and land for Allah and His kingdom is never ending. So the commands that are in the Quran are still in force for believing Muslims, whereas the commands in Joshua and Judges and so on are no longer exist. You don't find Jews or Christians today saying, "Oh, God's commanding us to go to war against these pagan nations and take their land and make them part of God's kingdom." We realize that the kingdom, God's kingdom, as Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Otherwise, I would have my disciples, and I'd have hordes of angels to come and fight for my kingdom. But my kingdom is not of this world. But in Islam, the kingdom of God is this world, and so they're committed to trying to take over the world for the cause of Islam.
Okay, I'm going to ask one other question. At the end of the New Testament, where we are commanded to go and make disciples, and I'm just thinking that there might be those that are not Christian that could construe that as somewhat the same as Islam, but they're different because it's not going to conquer land or whatever, it is to evangelize souls, I think. Am I on the right track on this, Mateen?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. I'd say the major difference between Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations and the Islamic command to go and expand and conquer the world is the difference between a motivation of love and a motivation of power or force. As Christians are called to make disciples by offering them the opportunity to come into a relationship with a loving God. But it's the choice of the person who hears the message of the gospel as to whether to accept that or reject it. In Islam, on the other hand, the message is, come, bow down before Allah. This is your expected response to the God who is all-powerful. And you have three options. If you're not a Muslim, you're a Christian or a Jew, you have one other choice that the rest of the world is not given. The two major options are you hear the message of Islam and you bow and you become a Muslim. Great. The second response is you reject Islam. If you reject Islam, our command as Muslims is to fight against you until we either conquer you and enslave you or we kill you. Christians and Jews are given one alternate option, which is you can remain a Christian or a Jew, that is a monotheist, within Islam, as long as you submit to being ruled by the Muslim world and you submit to Sharia law and you agree to pay, in essence, a poll tax or a head tax annually, which is quite severe. If you're willing to do that and live as a sort of a slave, non-citizen within the Muslim empire, then we'll allow you to live in relative peace, along with a great number of limitations, but still you can carry on your life. So those are the main options that you're given in Islam. You either submit under threat of force or willingly, or if you refuse to submit, then the Islamic nation goes to war against you until you're forced to submit or you're killed.
Well, Mateen, this is really fascinating. I'm talking with Mateen Elass, and he has a ministry which is bringing the gospel to the Arabic-speaking world. And he has a very interesting life story. He grew up in Saudi Arabia, and his father was Muslim. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will continue the conversation. I want to find out what he has to say about Afghanistan. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support the work that we're doing as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And I have on the line with me Mateen Elas, and he has a ministry where he is bringing the gospel to the Arabic-speaking world. And fascinating ministry. How could people help you if they wanted to do that, Mateen?
Well, the best way would be to go to our website, although it's principally in Arabic. There's a way people can navigate to a screen that says how they can give online easily through the website, or they can just contact us at Voice of the Truth. Our phone number is 714-574-5900. Or they can email us at hope@vopg.com and contact us that way. We're, of course, completely supported by donation. This is now our 50th year in existence.
And, wow.
We're excited about all the open doors that God is providing, even in the midst of such harsh times worldwide. There's never been a hunger for the gospel in the Muslim world like there is today, and never in 1,400 years. I think so many people, their souls have become so parched and they're so thirsty for a word of hope and of love from God. And there's the possibility now of people doing their own research on the internet, not having to listen simply and accept what an imam or a religious teacher tells them about who Jesus is, but they can search for themselves online and find truth. So great things are happening. Even in the midst of all the terrible news, there are thousands and thousands of Muslims who have found new life and new hope in Christ. And so we're thrilled to be staged well to be able to help people discover who Jesus really is.
Okay, and again, that phone number is 719-574-5900. And can email you at hope@VOPG, that's Victory Oscar Paul George .com, correct?
Correct, that's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, Mateen, we're watching Afghanistan. And I could not believe that we actually have Americans that are behind enemy lines. I cannot believe that we exited Afghanistan, leaving all kinds of military equipment. I cannot believe that we actually saw the Taliban do a reenactment of our Marines raising the American flag on Mount Suribachi during the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II, and they have on American uniforms and are raising the Taliban flag. I cannot believe this. And certainly I'm concerned about Americans, but I'm concerned about all those that are now, I think, at great danger. But you have an ear to the ground on what's happening in Afghanistan, correct?
Well, I mean, I don't have first-hand reports from people that are live, but I have a lot of information from people that I trust, and I know the mindset of the Taliban. It's the same mindset of the other radical Muslim organizations around the world, regardless of where they are. So I know how they're acting, and even though they're putting on a big PR push now, you know, to say we're Taliban 2.0, we're a kind of gentler version. They are not, in fact, any different than they were back in the 1990s and in the last 20 years.
And that means that it's very dangerous right now in Afghanistan, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, unless you are a partner of the Taliban or a member of the Taliban, you have no sense of security or safety, because they could turn against you at any point. So, I mean, there's just about every group. We talked about Americans behind enemy lines, but of course there are also foreigners, Westerners, from other nations that were part of the NATO contingent that are also caught behind enemy lines. And the Taliban have made it very clear that after the Western militaries have all exited, that any foreigners that they capture there will be interrogated and incarcerated and maybe executed. There are no guarantees for any foreigners. But then it's even worse, or maybe not worse, but just as bad for those who are Afghanis. Depending on what group they belong to, they also are in danger of persecution and or execution. If you're not the same flavor of Islam as the Taliban, for instance, if you're a Shiite, they see you as a false Muslim. And if you refuse to give up your Shiite beliefs and to adhere to what the Taliban say is the correct view, you will be executed. In early July, after the Taliban had taken over central Afghanistan, where there's a large group of an extended tribe known as the Hazara tribe, they're all Shiite. The Taliban were known to have captured a certain group of Hazaras from this one particular village, and executed, found nine of the men, executed six by bullets and three by torture. And Amnesty International broadcast that. So there's no doubt that that happened. So if you're a Shiite, you're in big trouble. But if you're a Sunni Muslim, as the Taliban are, but you're not their flavor, or you don't do things correctly according to their system, then you also are in danger of being incarcerated or persecuted. And certainly, as we talked about just briefly, if you're a Christian or other minority religion, you have no safety. I just got word yesterday of a small underground church in Kabul that was infiltrated, discovered and infiltrated, and the Taliban came and knocked down the door and gunned down the whole group. You know, it was a group of maybe 20 or so who were meeting behind closed doors. Because they were Christian, they were not allowed to remain alive. And the Taliban is going door to door searching for Afghani collaborators with the U.S., they're demanding the cell phones of people, and they're going through the cell phones. If they find a Bible app or a Christian app on that cell phone, they immediately arrest the individual and or shoot them on the spot. So it's a very dangerous time for anyone who is out of the Taliban stream of Islam to exist, and certainly there's no freedom of religion to practice any other religion there. If you are a homosexual, the Taliban have already said that they're going to institute Sharia law, and if you're captured and if you're convicted of a crime of homosexuality, you will be killed, they said, either by being stoned to death or being placed by a large stone wall, 8 to 10 foot high stone wall, which then is toppled on top of you to kill you. So a lot of barbaric practices, but the worst of all are women and children, women and little girls, I should say, especially. Little boys are protected class, but the little girls, the Taliban have said that when a girl reaches the age of 12, she is now of marriageable age. And they've dictated to the people of Afghanistan under them that any girl, 12 years old on up within the household, who is single, the parents or the heads of that household need to put a sign on the outside wall of the house indicating that there is a girl of marriageable age. And the Taliban fighters have the right to go in and decide for themselves if they want to take this girl or woman from age 12 to 45, childbearing age, as a wife or as a sex slave. They believe the Quran gives them the warrant to be able to take as war booty any woman as a sex slave or to marry. And so the parents have no choice in this matter. They'll be gunned down if they refuse. So little girls from age 12 on are, in essence, becoming subjects of perpetual rape by Muslim Taliban fighters who have asserted their right, according to their version of Islam, to make these girls their property. So it's just a horrific existence if you're a girl in Afghanistan. You have no voice for yourself. You are simply the property or the toy of those who are wielding force over you.
My first thought is the American feminist movement said that they stand for women and girls. I wonder where they are in reference to what is happening in Afghanistan. Just a comment on that. But a question, Mateen, I have read in different places that actually... that there has been activities between Muslim men and young boys. And, I mean, that seems to me like that's homosexual activity. But yet, you said they are executing homosexuals. I guess the first question is that true? I actually felt like I had it on good authority that it was even occurring on some of our bases, our military bases, with some of these Afghanis. So what's your comments on that?
Yeah, this is something that I've never been able to wrap my mind around, Kim. It's a practice, if I remember correctly, it's called Baza Bachi, where young boys are feminized, they're dressed up as girls and taught how to dance provocatively, and then they're brought in evening gatherings with men, and sort of paraded before the men, and they do their dance, and then the men bid on taking these little boys to have them for the night or for a week or for however long as sexual objects. So literally, this is homosexual activity. What's pederasty? Somehow, and this is what I can't wrap my mind around, in the Muslim mind, the men don't see this as homosexuality. They see it simply as a form of entertainment using little boys, but using them as if they were girls. And they remain, they have makeup on and they are dressed in clothes, feminine clothes. So they see their normal sexual activity as procreative. That's what they do with women. And with the boys, it's just, they say, for pleasure. But they say, we're not homosexual. This is still, we're treating it as if it's heterosexual, because in our minds, we've made these little boys into girls. But we're not interested in living with them in a homosexual relationship long term. We're just using them as pleasure, but we have wives, and we remain sexually active with them to produce children. So somehow they're able to justify giving themselves a pass on the matter of homosexuality, even though the Quran says that those who lie with men and those who allow themselves to be used by men as men are both to be executed. They've committed the sin of Lot, as it's known in Islam.
Huh. Kind of remarkable. Mateen, we're just about out of time. This has been absolutely fascinating. And I'm so concerned what's happening in our world. We're in a dangerous world right now. What would you say to our listeners kind of as your final thought this morning?
Well, I'd say if you're a Christian, you know who holds the world finally in his hands and has a plan for the world that cannot be overcome or interfered with. So in the meantime, we live with the knowledge that that human beings are fallen creatures and capable of great evil, and we happen to be seeing great evil at the moment. But human beings are also capable of great good, and those who are influenced or inspired by God's Spirit have the opportunity to work for good in the midst of great evil. So even though what we're hearing from the media always emphasizes the horror and great wickedness that happens in the world, behind the scenes or under the radar of the Western media, there are great things happening of people whose lives are being transformed, who are coming out of Islam or coming out of even secularism and are attuned to God's design and purpose for human beings, which is to exhibit what we know as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. And so all is not lost by any stretch of the imagination, even though evil powers are flexing their muscles right now. We have the capacity still to work one-on-one with people and see changed lives take place. And the more that happens, the greater impact it will have on the larger population of this world.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for those words of hope. Mateen Elass, this has been absolutely fascinating. I so appreciate that. And again, people can help you by going or by emailing you at hope@vopg.com. That's hope@vopg.com. Mateen, God bless you.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks so much for the chance to be with you.
And our quote for today is from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry.